Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Tiny Shutter Podcast. This is the show about iPhone photography all the time, every day of the week, except this podcast is once a week, so... There you go. I think that puts a little bit of a kibosh on the all the time part. All the time. I am Mark Sadowski.
I'm Matt Hoffman.
And I'm Joseph Herrera.
And we are very happy to have you guys back. Well, the listeners, not you guys. Well, of course, I am happy to have you guys on the show. Wow. Change up the music just for 1 week and everything goes to hell.
Mark's discombobulated.
Yeah, that music. We're changing things up a little bit in the way we're recording the show. And boy, do you get into a habit. So that explains that. So there you go. Good comedy. So anyway, apart from my bumbling, how about we do some news?
News team, assemble!
So it's been an interesting week for iPhone news. We have probably the big one is OtterBox buys LifeProof. What do you guys think of that? How about we start with you, Matt, because you actually have a LifeProof case.
Yes, I do. And when I first got an iPhone, which was the iPhone 4, the first case I bought was the OtterBox, you know, because I was afraid I was going to ruin the phone. And the OtterBox is about 1,000 layers of protection. And when I finally got a LifeProof case, you know, the thing I liked about it was that it's so slim, really doesn't add a whole lot of bulk, and OtterBox doesn't have a waterproof case. So I guess I'm not really surprised by this. It kind of makes sense that it kind of makes a complete line, I guess, of iPhone protection, but I'm just hoping that more design cues are taken from LifeProof rather than OtterBox.
I always imagine it would be the other way around. LifeProof buying OtterBox, but.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. And I'm also just hoping that the quality of the LifeProof cases is a little bit better than, or becomes better than the one that I got for the iPhone 5.
How has that been? I think you mentioned that in a previous
Yeah, I think last week I mentioned like the seal, which is probably the most important part.
Oh, right. Yeah, now I remember.
Yeah, that easily falls out. That's probably the biggest thing. But the it's actually pretty hard to use the little plug that goes into the earphone socket.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way the case is at the bottom of the case, it's I don't know, it's like you need tiny little fingers to be able to manipulate that plug. And it's like I've been chipping like my thumbnails off just trying to turn the thing.
Damn.
So I think it needs some tweaks. I mean, I still like it for the protection it offers, but I don't know. We'll see what happens here.
I don't know if you guys see this, but basically the news that we got this from is iMore.com. And on the article I'm looking at, on the right side is a advertisement for OtterBox. And it's basically the announcement for the Armor series,
yep,
which is a waterproof, dustproof, crushproof OtterBox case.
Yep.
So that's interesting.
Now, I'm a huge OtterBox user. Both phones that I carry along are OtterBoxes, and they're the industrial strength ones.
Yeah,
they're not the cheapo. You know, it's just a cover over the iPhone.
Man, this thing looks like a beast.
Yeah, because I work construction, and so you know I don't ever want to, you know, have something happen to my phone, you know, being out on construction sites and all that. So And the one thing that I've always lamented is having to take my iPhone out of the OtterBox to be able to use like the OloClip or anything else. So I'm excited that actually OtterBox did buy LifeProof, because that means that, you know, just I think they can add to the OtterBox itself and possibly even add, you know, capabilities of putting lenses on it. Now, the one thing I was going to say earlier, the reason why I think OtterBox is probably a better choice in buying LifeProof is that more people probably use OtterBox than any other type of case.
Yeah.
And just for the protection. And now that if you offer the waterproof, dustproof, crushproof, well, you know, if it is proof, to the OtterBox, you know, that just gives it a, you know, it gives it more
power.
Yeah, more power. And the one thing that OtterBox did that made me a customer for life is that with my 3GS, I had broken the clip.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, oh, okay, well, we'll send you three of them in the mail for free.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, you know, if it's normal wear and tear, they'll replace stuff. And, you know, and I have no, I'll go and I'll buy another OtterBox if I have to, knowing that, you know, they have great customer service and they take care, you know, they take care of you, you know, even with normal wear and tear stuff. So
that's pretty incredible.
Yeah. I told the guy on the phone, I said, listen, you've got a customer for life now. You know, that was great customer service.
And the guy whispered, we own you.
Yes.
Hey, what's that case that you use, Matt? The one that has the diff case, right? You're using that as well?
I love it. Yes.
Now, what if OtterBox buys diff case? Then they pretty much lock up the trifecta there.
Yeah, I mean, and then if they came out with a waterproof case with a tripod socket, I'd be in heaven.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
definitely. There'd be no stopping anybody. The world would be theirs. That would be a great acquisition, or maybe they could just make their own. Can't be that hard. That'd be a good competition against GoPro.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess there is already waterproof iPhone cases with tripod sockets. I can't think of the name of it, but I know it exists.
Yeah, I've seen it before. I actually contacted them to see if we could get a review copy, and they said no. So subsequently I forgot who they were. I'll be interested to see what they come up with. I guess we won't see anything really until the next iPhone probably.
Can I say something about that real super quick?
Yeah.
So it goes along with this whole case stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So in that same article, I clicked a link, and I don't remember what it was for. It was just some other case, like some fancy, like slim. Oh, it's actually right at the top, the all-new case machine, i5 slimline case.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah, so yeah.
I clicked on that, and in their little on their website, they say that they have those cases for the iPhone 5 and 5S.
See, I'm scared to click on anything that's not a part of the article.
Oh, I got so many viruses, it was ridiculous. Yeah.
I grew up in the Windows 3.1 era where you didn't dare touch anything outside of what you were normally doing.
Yeah.
See, I have a Mac, so I don't worry about stuff like that.
I don't worry too much, although I did get a virus software for my Mac.
On their website, on casemachine.com, they say three amazing new cases for your iPhone 5/5S. Now, I'm not really reading into that, thinking that they know something, but I just found it interesting.
Chance. 5S or a 6, you know, 50-50.
There's a 50-50 chance, but we're only 30% sure of that. I love that Naked Gun joke. Never gets old.
Yeah, it's good. 100% of the time, you're right every time.
All right, so moving on. We have stunning supermoon close-ups taken with the iPhone. This is something that you wanted to bring up last week, but we ran out of time, Matt. Do you want to touch on that?
Yeah. So this was actually brought to my attention by one of our listeners and good friends, Kevin Davis.
Yeah.
I need to apologize to him because I wrote him a message last week telling him, awesome, we're going to talk about this on the show. And then we didn't. So, Kevin, I'm sorry about that. But, yeah, so I guess it was not too long ago we talked about the Magnify adapter that lets you mount your iPhone to a spotting scope or a telescope.
Yeah, it was actually I think it was in the fall that we mentioned that.
Well, time really flies with this show.
So. It really does, actually.
But, this amateur photographer, his name is Jared Earl, went out with one of the recent supermoons and decided to photograph it using this adapter. And it's a pretty awesome picture. It's pretty well detailed, and the moon more than fills the frame, which is cool.
Yes.
So I actually have one of these to play with. I just have to remember to grab my wife's 4S to stick in it and attach it to my telescope and give it a whirl.
That's awesome. You'll be happy with that. Because back when I was testing this, it was a lot of fun to play with. Me and one of the co-hosts on the Lens Wipe, Maud Byrne, we used his spotting scope to test out the case. And again, we tried a telescope, but for whatever reason, it wasn't cooperating. That's a problem when you have so many different types of eyepieces. And the spotting scope gave the best results. And it's somewhere in our tiny shutter feed. I just don't know where. It goes way back.
Yeah. A couple other little interesting tidbits about how he got the photo. He actually used a video app and generated a high quality still image from HD video.
That's interesting. I never thought to use that.
And you know what it does? Doesn't it crop it a little closer?
Yeah.
And then the other thing that he did, which is actually really essential with this type of high magnification, was he used the volume button on the Apple headphones to trip the shutter.
Yeah, that's the same thing I did.
Yeah, you have to. With that type of magnification, you really can't touch the telescope.
Because you go crazy with the... I'm sorry to interrupt, but...
It's okay.
Yeah, I was agreeing.
So, just in case anybody else wants to give this type of thing a whirl, those are two... especially using the headphones, that's a really mandatory tidbit of information. And I think the screen or the frame grab is a pretty good idea.
Yeah, using the video, I never thought to use that because that would eliminate a whole lot of things.
Well, it makes sense if you don't have a telescope that can track an object in the sky.
Yeah.
And it's surprising how fast, like, the moon or planets or something actually move through the sky and through the field of view of a telescope.
Yes. It's annoying, actually.
It is.
One of the things I'd like to add to this, when I did this, I used something else other than the headset plus button. I used... a tool from Gizmon. They actually make a remote shutter device. I mean, it's essentially the you know, a cord that attaches to your iPhone, and the shutter looks like an old piece of 35 millimeter film. And so you just hold on to that and just squeeze the top, and it'll take the photo.
Did it make you feel like you were using a cable release?
It did. It did so much. It's total nostalgia. But the interesting thing about it is that, not that it's a big deal, but it changes your grip on the photo. Like with using the headset, you have that little, you're holding it basically like you're pinching something. And sometimes when you pinch to take your photo, you don't do it good enough. Like sometimes I'll slip and I'll hit the minus button or something like that. With this Gizmon device, you just click, click, click. It's total. Cool. Yeah, I'm not saying it good enough, but it's fairly inexpensive. I think it's like $20-$30. So
I'll have to visit the Gizmon site and check that out because I am not familiar with that product.
Yeah, you can find it on Amazon. I think I have it in our Tiny Shutter Amazon store, which sadly I don't say that enough. That we have one. Oh, if you go to if you go to tinyshutter.com and click the store link, you'll be able to find all the stuff that we've pretty much talked about on the show. Let's see if it's
going
in,
the show notes.
Yeah, but I'm going to check that out to see if it's actually in
there. I found it, and you're right; it does look like a film cartridge with a, you know, a cord coming out of it that plugs into the headphone jack.
It really does make a difference. I mean, I know it doesn't seem like much, but I love the thing. They sent us a few to play with. And
what color do you have?
I think they gave us green and yellow.
Figures. I want red.
The one thing I don't understand is, what does the red represent? Like, I know the yellow represents Kodak, and green represents the Fujifilm, but I don't know what the red represents.
Probably some old, like, Agfa film or something.
Okay, that makes sense. There you go.
Yeah, there's more film brands than just Fuji and Kodak.
No, I know, but those are the only two that I was aware of. And, anyway, these are great photos. We'll have a link in the show notes, but there's a link to the CNET article, and it also shows the rig that he was using. He was using the Magnifique case as well as some really awesome telescope. So everyone should go check that out. And if anybody in our audience has moon photos that they took with their iPhone, then definitely share them. The best place to share them is our Tiny Shutter Instagram group. And all you need to do is just tag your photos with the hashtag Tiny Shutter, and we'll be able to see it. Very cool.
That'd be awesome.
So in our next bit of news, we have something from fstoppers.com, and it's basically a plea to everybody who's making photo apps to basically stop it. So Joe, do you want to take this one?
Sure. One of our... one of our listeners, Lawrence, I hope I don't mess up his last name.
Of Arabia?
Yeah. Lawrence Laza? Lazar.
Oh, that's you butchered that.
I did.
He still could be from Arabia.
It's maybe? Lazari.
Lazari.
There you go.
No, I don't know. I just made stuff up.
He sent a message on the Tiny Shutter page on Facebook, and it was this link to app develop. You know, a guy who was pretty much, he was frustrated with all the photo apps that are out there because he goes and he looks for new photo apps, but he's having to wade through garbage. And in reality, that's true, because, I mean, we have to wade through that same garbage. So he was going through, and he was posting screen captures of all the different apps that are out there when he would type in certain keywords like photo sharing or video camera. And he said that most of them in there are probably half baked, would crash your system, and were pretty much people wanting to throw something out that hopefully would have a novelty to where a bigger company would buy them out. So
Ogle. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I should have used the cough button.
You have something in your throat. You okay?
I think so. I'm okay now.
But you know, we talked a little bit about this, and you know, it's true. There's a lot of photo apps in there, and I used to go through and just, I don't even go over and look at photo apps anymore. The way I find apps now is that I look for recommendations. So, you know, our audience is great for being able to give us recommendations, and then our show is a good conduit to be able to give that recommendation out to the rest of the audience. So, you know, there's a way to crowdsource through the garbage to be able to find great apps, but I thought it was a pretty interesting article and something that was worth mentioning on the show.
I agree with you. I haven't touched a photo app unless it's recommended by either a news source or one of the people in our audience. Otherwise, I don't even look at the photography category anymore. But you know what? I don't see any way around this. I mean, the only place you can get stuff is through the iTunes App Store. They don't exactly have the best search.
No, it's terrible.
And even if they did, I mean, how many possible combinations can you have that's going to result in a good photo app? I mean, it's pretty limited. You can already find the best stuff out there right now. I think you can, correct me if I'm wrong, but you could look for the most popular ones. And yep, we essentially already have those.
Yeah. There's only so many different variations and shades to create some sort of a texture or a filter. And I'm at the point now where I don't like that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I'm done with filters. Now, you know, I'm looking for something that is innovative. I'm tired of seeing all the stuff that's been rehashed and say, oh, look at this one. It does the same thing as all the other ones, but it's different and it costs 99 cents.
Yeah.
You know, so they're just, it's just, it is a bunch of nonsense.
You know, I don't even look for innovative anymore. Right now, I'm very happy with Camera Plus, with my native photo app, yeah, and basically some of the black and white apps that Matt has suggested in the past. That's essentially all I'm using.
Yeah.
I don't want anything different. I don't even want anything to do with filters anymore. I just want just straight up either black and white or just straight up, you know, regular camera.
And I use the native app more than I use any of the other photography apps. I will, if I am going to put a lot of time and effort into something, I'll use Pure.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to do video, I'm going to use Camera Awesome, because you can set the exposure with Camera Awesome in video mode, whereas Camera Plus doesn't have a video mode.
Yeah. All right. Just real quick, what do you guys have as your in your folders for cameras? We'll start with you, Matt.
Let's see. What do I have for cameras? I have, obviously, the native camera.
Yeah.
Slow shutter cam.
Mm-hmm.
Camera Plus. Hipstamatic. Pure Shot. 645 Pro. Wood camera, but I've never used that as a camera. I've only ever used it for the effects.
Yeah.
Let's see. HDR photo camera. Camera Awesome. And I don't even know how to say this one. Photor. It was one of my picks of the week, like way back in the day.
Yeah.
I really haven't played with that one much, but I don't feel like taking it off my phone for some reason.
It's all good.
I actually have another one but I want to save it till our focus points.
Oh, cool.
And then obviously, for a camera, probably like 90% of the time I use True HDR.
Awesome. Okay. All right, how about you, Joe?
All right, from pretty much my least to what I use, I've got Average Cam Pro, Pro HDR 36, which is one of those ones that's supposed to limit you to just shooting and then developing the images after the roll has been taken. I still have to get into that one.
Yeah.
Go over here. I have the Oloclip app, the native camera app, iTimelapse, Camera Plus, Camera Awesome, Bracket Mode, and Pure.
Nice. So apart from the camera native camera app, I have Camera Plus. I have, for some reason, Hipstamatic still.
Sorry.
That's okay. I have M-Pro for one of my black and whites and Perfect Black and White for the other app. And for video, I use Filmic Pro.
Hmm.
And that basically you're able to do, 24 frames per second or something like that.
Okay. Wow.
You know, the one that the movies use for film speed. So that's the only reason why it's there. And those are the only ones I have. On deck, I have Average Cam Pro, the Pro HDR.
Mm-hmm.
That I'll download at a moment's notice. But right now, I just took them off the camera. I don't even use that anymore, unless it's a special occasion. And then the slow shutter one I use. I haven't actually used that yet. I really want to get into a position that we're going to use that. I'll probably use it
on the trip.
Yeah. When I actually see a waterfall.
Not one that's already been taken.
Yeah. Kind of takes the joy out of using a slow shutter cam when it's already still. What was I going with this? Why did I even ask you guys?
We were just looking through and trying to, just out on a whim, seeing who had what
in there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what else you could do for camera apps. I mean, you got some really cool things going on, like the – what is it? I forget the name of the app that is able to help you photograph lightning. That's kind of cool and innovative.
Oh, yeah.
And, oh, man, that's a good app too. I've seen some great stuff come out of that. In fact, we had one that made our post pick of the week.
Yes.
Not too long ago. But stuff like that is kind of cool. But as far as straight up, I don't know what else you can do that's going to allow you to do something that somebody else isn't already doing now. I mean, I guess we'll see what the next iPhone will be able to allow us to do. Maybe something else will come out of the apps. But apart from that, I don't know what else you can be looking for.
Oh, you need the Facebook camera.
Oh, yeah, the Facebook camera. Yeah. Might as well add Flickr to that.
Yeah, that was that article. I thought it was, it was a good one. And like I told Lawrence, anytime you see something that might be interesting on the show, send it our way, because we don't see everything. And, get some audience feedback and participation, and that helps the show big time.
Yeah. So that's all the news we have for this week. Why don't we go into post pick of the week? And it's my turn this week, right?
Yes, it is.
All righty. Boom, boom, boom. I actually have this ready. Or did I? Dum, dum, dum. I would edit this, but I'm too lazy. So anyway, this week's post pick of the week goes to the Big JR 215. He has an awesome photo of a nice vintage camera, which I absolutely love, because I've been on such a vintage camera kick. And I've for those of you, I don't know how much I've mentioned this on the tiny shutter, but on the lens wipe, I won't shut up about this. It's actually dominating.
Non-stop.
Week after week on the Fujifilm cameras and how great they are, and you know the greatest thing since sliced bread. Sliced bread being invented a few months before the Fujifilm cameras. Basically, the picture that the big JR has is his grandfather's old Voigtlander. Am I pronouncing that right? Yeah. The Vito II purchased sometime back in the 40s or 50s, and back then they knew how to make cameras. These things were just these mechanical geniuses. They look elegant. They are built like brick houses, and greatest cameras in the world, these rangefinders. And I absolutely love it. There's just a certain elegance to the old cameras that I think is – it just shows how much we've forgotten with some of the styles we have for our current cameras. And so that's my pick for this week. Everyone should check it out.
Yeah, it's a cool picture. Every time I see a picture of an old camera, I want to just dig out all my old cameras and set them up and take pictures of them. I'm not sure why I don't do that.
I've been tempted to go and buy an old camera, one of those old manual Canon, what is it, the AE-1s or something like that. I forget what it is, but it's a manual camera. And I drive by, there's a camera store in downtown Boston that just sells these vintage cameras. And I could pick it up for like less than a couple hundred bucks. I think it's like $150 for this camera. And I'm very, very tempted. But I don't know how much time I would actually put into just shooting film.
Yeah, I like them just to look at. Like,
yeah, that's where it comes down to.
Yeah, I mean, I have a whole bunch of them, and I probably will never get around to using them.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I just don't want to shoot film anymore. I don't miss it at all.
I kind of do, but I don't know how much of that is just neglectful nostalgia. like I kind of do because it sounds like it's something important.
For me, it's just pure laziness.
Oh, there's that too. There's a lot of that too on my side. In fact, that's what it ends up coming down to. There was this one time, I'm going to go off on a little bit of a tangent here. But while I was shooting digitally, I also got the bite to do film again, because some photographer told me that I should go into medium format. And the photographer turns out to be a douche. he was an absolute idiot when I look back. My God, am I pliable? But anyway, I ended up buying a twin lens camera. It was what was it? I think I bought a Seagull. I mean, it was a decent looking camera, and I took some okay photos with it. But you know, for every photo I could take with the Seagull, I was able to do, you know, three times more with my digital camera and have immediate results. So it's like, you know, I could take a photo. Like my big test was taking it to the mountains to photograph some waterfalls. So I'd set up my shot, set up the exposure and everything, take the shot with the Seagull first, and then I'd take the shot with my Canon, and then, you know, did that stuff. And by the time I got the proofs back, I've already printed like three different photos from my Canon. It's like, well, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah. I tell you what, there is a bit of a nostalgia, and if you are looking for some way to spicing up your photography, it, you know, sometimes going to film can help do that, but. Yeah, if you're looking, you know, you have to really want to do film in order to do it.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not taking anything away from film. Anybody who does film, you know, has remarkable patience. So props to you guys. All I'm saying is that it's not for me. And I guess that's what Matt was saying. It's not for him either.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's so funny because for the longest time, I resisted digital like no one's business. I was one of those people that said digital will never be as good as film. And then I saw pictures that changed my mind, so I went to digital. And then when camera phone photography started becoming more prevalent, I thought that was stupid too. You know, I thought, you know, why would you do that? Like, why would you do it seriously? I guess is I understood, like, you know, friends at a party, snapshots, that kind of thing. You know,
yeah.
Share them online, that sort of stuff. That made sense to me. But, you know, then I started hearing pro photographers saying, well, you know, I'm using my iPhone to take pictures that I either can't take with, you know, my regular camera for whatever reason, or, you know, I wasn't going to get the image at all because I didn't have another camera with me, or whatever, you know, whatever their reason was. And so when I finally got an iPhone, and I did not buy an iPhone for photography.
Yeah.
But when I started to play with it, you know, I was like, holy cow. I mean, this really is a camera. You know, the image quality is there. Like, I'm not going to make 16 by 20 inch prints or anything, but.
Why not?
Well, maybe with my iPhone 5 I could, but
yeah,
not with the 4.
I hear you.
You know, the iPhone changed my mind. And, you know, there are other phones out there that have, you know, pretty decent cameras and good resolution and stuff like that. So, you know, the lines are really being blurred nowadays.
I want to basically table this talk because I think we could go a lot into this, but we're really short on time. But I want to bring this up as a talking point for next week. And that is, like, one of the statistics I heard was that the amount of photos that we've taken between now and maybe 3 or 6 months ago,
yeah,
is more photography that's been done ever. Like, all the pictures ever taken.
Wow.
It's just going to exponentially, you know, increase as we go along.
Right. So my question is, does this trouble anybody? Like, if you really think about it, the amount of photos being taken, is this what do we think of this? Like, what kind of impact do you feel this is having? Like, how do we feel about the impact that it's having? Because let me just finish this one thought, and then you can correct me. We basically have heard stories where photojournalists are losing their jobs and reporters are now having to use their iPhones to take their reporting stories, you know, things like that. I know that was one of the things that was brought up with the layoffs at the Chicago Sun-Times.
Let's not answer this
today. I don't want an answer right now. I want to bring this to something for us to think about and our audience to think about. So my request for everybody is to share your thoughts. Either go to tinyshutter.com and go to the show notes of this particular episode. I don't know what number we're on right now.
58.
58. There you go. Leave it in the show notes or just give us a message in our Facebook page, facebook.com/tinyshutter. And I'd say Twitter, but I mean, Jesus, only 140 characters. You're not going to say much. But I think it's bad. All right.
Well, that's okay. They can go to Twitter because I have the right answer to your question.
Okay. So you can find us at Tiny Shutter on Twitter. So share your thoughts and let's just throw that out there and table it. So let's go to our picks for this week. And why don't you go, Matt, because I don't have one.
Okay. So, you know, it's funny, a little bit ago you guys were talking about how you're so over, like, filters and gimmicky stuff, right? But I found an app that just flies in the face of all that stuff. And I actually think it's pretty cool. It's an app called Focus Twist. And I'm just going to come right out and say what it is. It's Lytro.
Really?
It allows you to refocus your image after the fact. And at first I thought, well, that's kind of cool. Like, you take a picture and then you decide, you know, the thing that's like in the foreground is out of focus and the background's in focus, but you wanted it, wanted it to be the other way around, and you could tap the picture and it'll reverse that. Right.
Yeah.
I thought, that's neat. And then I thought, but
wait, what's this app called?
Focus Twist. I thought Lytro, you know, you upload your picture to Lytro's website and people can go there and they could click on stuff and play with it. Does this do the same thing? Well, if you all head over to my Twitter feed, that's at M Hoffman Photo, it'll probably be like the first post, because I don't post that much stuff on Twitter. Click on that link and click on the picture. It's not a very good example because the foreground and background are not that much separated from each other. But if you look at the microphone in the picture, you can see that the focus of the picture does change. So it does work. You can post it to the web and people can go and they could click on it and change the focus of the picture. It's pretty cool, I think. You know, and that cost me $1.99 instead of $400 for a Lytro camera.
That is pretty amazing.
Dude.
Now, I will say, real quick, I have found with this app, it was probably best if you could steady your phone, like on a tripod or something like that, because it's not like, you know, an instantaneous click of the shutter. It takes it 5 to 10 seconds to make the image.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's a bunch of, it's like an animated GIF and you're able to,
No, what it's, I can tell you what's happening right now because I'm playing with it right now. It's just taking a bunch of different shots and compositing them together.
Nice. Yeah, I figured that's what it was doing. And
but
honestly,
dude, this is a whole lot cheaper than Lytro.
I don't care how it works. I just think it's cool.
No, this is awesome. This is a really cool app. And this is sharing a sentiment from the Lens Wipe episode, but you can suck it, Lytro. I mean, seriously, look. Let's look at this. Lytro, for those of you who don't know, who aren't aware of this lovely, lovely matchbox, it's basically an elongated camera where you just take your picture and you adjust later. And you really don't get much of a camera out of this. It's no, I'm going to save it for Lens Wipe. If you want to, we'll talk about this. I'll just mention this to Modburn and he'll go off on a tangent and rage. But Lytro, in short, it allows you to readjust your photos later. And it's like a $400 camera, just like Matt said. And this thing is really cool at just $1.99, which I just bought. Without hesitation.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing with this outdoors. I think that's where this is really going to shine.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well done. I love that. That's going to be my focus point as well. I second your nomination.
Fantastic.
How about you, Joe?
Well, okay. After that, mine's just I time lapse and it's cool. I'm done. No, actually, I time lapse pro is mine, and I had mentioned probably a couple weeks ago that I took it out and used it, and it was green when I developed it, and so I actually went back and tried a different variation of frames per second, and it came out and actually worked. So I'm going to get that up and on the web so that you can see it. But it's only it's $1.99, not as impressive as the other app, but for time lapse, it's pretty neat, and it comes with some music to be able to add to the time lapse to make the time lapse pretty interesting. So it's something that I'm going to definitely be using a lot more of, but I thought I'd make that my focus point for this week.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that looks like a really nice app. I don't know why I don't do time lapse photography. I really should.
I know why.
Because I don't know. Tell me.
ADD. That's how I am. I have to really. You have to set it there. You have to pick. Yeah. Okay. You have to frame what you want to tell. You know, and you, not only that, but you have to set it, and then you have to walk away.
Yeah.
Pretty much. You can't hover around it. You're going to be bored to tears. You pretty much have to set and forget and then come back, and you can set it to so many different frames or a certain amount of time, you know. So it's for me, I struggle with, you know, squirrel and, you know, and so it takes a lot for me to have to, you know, figure out what I want. If it's going to look right, and then just set it and forget it and walk away.
Yeah. All good. Yeah, I just haven't had – I own the app, but I haven't had anything to photograph with. Yeah, there isn't anything to for me to use it on. So
I think before I buy this, and I kind of want to buy it, I think I'm going to try the apps that I already own.
I think that's important.
Good idea.
Yeah. I already have apps that do time lapse, and I don't remember what the heck it's called, but I know that I have a time lapse app.
No problem. So cool. That being said, I think we can wrap up the show. Joe, tell the world where they could find you on this awesome interwebs.
You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferrer.
Cool. How about you, Matt?
You could find me on Instagram and Twitter at M Hoffman Photo.
And you can find me, Mark Sadowski, at some local camera store pressed up against the window looking at the Fuji cameras. Or you can find me on Twitter at Mostly Marcus, and on Instagram, just look for Lens Wipe. And that's all we have for this show. If you want to write to the show, go to tinyshutter.com and just click on Contact Us, and you'll be able to send us an email. Or you can contact us through Facebook. We are /tinyshutter. We are on Twitter at tinyshutter. And that's pretty much everything. So that's all for this week. We will see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Awesome.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week. Suck it, Android!